Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I wanna sing my song. It's a God now, it's a God now. But I gotta say like David and make some declarations.
Sure.
You know, you see the day and age that we live in. You can't try to steal from the hand that feed it.
But mama used to
some of us do that. You know?
Yeah.
Wednesday, I'm laughing at Brother Sherwin Gardner because he puts his all in all into his songs. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight this morning. Welcome to Inspirational Wednesday. I am your host. Pastor Voorhees, it truly indeed is a pleasure to be with you this morning and to be able to share the word with you this morning, to be able to come to you, sharing his word, getting into these scriptures. Before we get ready to go any further, this lesson is brought to you by Almoida at Last Ministries, also known as ALMS, House of Israel, Deliverance Assembly, here on Blog Talk Babylon Radio. And this is a part of our ministry, been going on strong for about 10 years now, just bringing you the word, bringing you information, Heart of the Hebrew Women, video blog magazine as well, where we try to inspire you and keep our people going and keep you encouraged, because herein lies the patience of the saints, that we just keep striving to get to the end. Amen. All praises to the Most High. Let's go before our Abba in prayer real quick before we get started. Holy Father, we thank you for another day to be in the land of the living, to have an opportunity to worship you and praise you. And I pray for blessings upon my people, midweek blessings. Father, we refer to this, the world calls this hump day, but we're going to refer to it as holy hump day because we're a set-apart people. And as a set-apart people, we want to make sure that we're acknowledging you and praising you for who you are and for what you are to us. We thank you for the manifold blessings that you've established upon us. Our goal, Father, is to move further in you and grow in you, because we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yah. We thank you for those blessings. We thank you for your son who made the sacrifice of giving his life, that we don't have to sacrifice goats, bulls, and animals anymore, and that we have grace and another opportunity, another day to get it right, to strive to be more like Christ, the Mashiach. And that's what I'm hoping will happen with your people, and that you will allow me to be a conduit for your spirit, that it might flow through me and the word might be given to your people and you be glorified. In the name of Yahushua we pray, so be it. Okay, let's go ahead and get into it. There's a lot happening in our world. You already know what's happening in the world. It's all over you. I don't want you to see things the wrong way, because you do know that we shouldn't be dependent upon our government anyway. As I said last week, Wonderful Counsel, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, and the government shall rest upon his shoulders. Well, he is our substance and he is our source. Your faith is being tested and being exercised. Will you panic? Will you be in fear? We're going to be talking more, probably on YouTube, about what's simmering and the slow eruption from the bottom of things that are happening, because pretty soon things will unravel all around you, but it's prophetic. And there will be a separation of the wheat and tare, and there will be we'll see who really does love the Most High, and we'll see who really does have faith. We'll see who's willing to not compromise and who's willing to stand fast in the liberty therefore. It's so easy to live for him when you have all the accoutrements, all the wonderful things, and hot and cold running water. You don't even realize there's people in other countries that are suffering that love the Most High God like you do and don't need as much as you need. And they're grateful for what they have. We've been programmed here in America as spoiled brats that we don't have enough. We need more because we're a consumer country, consumer driven through capitalism. And you're up under a spell, witchcraft. You should be willing to be without, to be a pilgrim. Know that you're just passing through and that he is your source. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Believe it or not, I have a spiritual arrogance. And it comes from the fact that I know I'm of a royal lineage, a royal priesthood. It's the fact that I am convinced, not convinced, I know without a shadow of a doubt that my father owns the cattle on a thousand hills and that whatever I need, he will supply. I know that he hears my prayer when I call him because I keep these commandments and I truly do love him and I'm not putting on for show. I'm not trying to impress anyone. And it said that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, where all belongs to him. So what do I have need of? You complain about what you don't have, but when you look around, do you realize you've got shelter, you've got a thermostat, you've got transportation, you always make it. You may not have the things that you're lusting after that this world tells you you need to be complete, but when you break the cycle of your programming and brainwashing, and take a real good look and do the inventory, you'll realize that you are blessed beyond measure. And you don't even know what to compare it to. Now, I'm not one that appreciates or even a fan of a comparative praise. Your praise shouldn't be contingent upon your analyzation of where you stand next to somebody else's stance. What does that mean? Too many people get into comparative self-worth to where I esteem my value on this earth compared to how I look when I stand next to somebody else, which gets you caught up into that keeping up with the Joneses mentality. That is satanic, demonic, Americanized capitalism and brainwashing that has gotten you into a mold of covetousness and idolatry. And this has to be snapped in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, because I can't allow myself psychologically to be programmed to always establish the amount of my blessings compared to what I've amassed, material and physical. Brothers and sisters, don't you know today that the biggest blessing you can have is peace of mind, sanity, and fulfillment of knowing who you are in Christ? Too many people are trapped in the prison of anxiety, paradynamic psychological trauma and psychoses, and can't even figure out who they are from day to day as a different personality taking control. Emotional manipulation through various devices that Satan has helped man to create, and you can't seem to get right until you have something to fix your flesh, and you can't even fast long enough to get your flesh up under control and subjugate your flesh to the dictates of the spirit that come through Yah. Let me tell you something. A comparative praise based upon how you look when you see something, oh God, I thank you, I'm not them. That is the wrong spirit and the wrong attitude, because it may be you tomorrow, but will you still love him and will you still praise him? Will you have a Job praise that says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord? We don't even understand the time frame of Job's suffering and how long it lasted, things that he encountered and experienced. But through it all, he maintained his praise, his focus on Yah. He had a bunch of friends that tried to do psychoanalysts and tried to analyze what he did to get him there. How many of you got friends around you like that to try to figure out what you did wrong, where you went wrong, what you shouldn't have done? And that's not what the Most High Yah is requiring. He's wanting at times when you get in that position to give him a praise. So if you're not in that position today, I need you to give him praise for where you are today. You have victory. You have peace of mind. You got two pennies in your pocket. You got a meal in your belly. You got a job to go to. You got a car or an Uber to get into to get you to where you need to go. Nobody's suffering right now. Can you praise him for the 5 minutes you have right now? Absolutely. Absolutely. Your praises are stored up for the pain of the journey and the pain of your past. You build up your praises. And your worship and praise becomes habitual, and it becomes a part of your lifestyle, so that when the storms do come, you're in shalom zone. The storms don't even seem like storms, because why? I'm poised in praise. That is superficial. That will pass, because no weapon formed against me, Isaiah 54:17, will prosper. I am poised in praise, and I remain in the shalom zone, because what you're trying to do to me, you won't be successful. Even the scripture told me to resist the devil, temptations, thoughts, and he will eventually flee. And every time you overcome a battle, you get stronger in him and you realize who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. Get into this today. I want to talk to you about and exhort your heart and soul. Just a quick lesson and exhortation piece. I want to motivate you today. Wisdom through Torah. We want to talk about the manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit, because too many people know how to do this fake speaking in tongues, and they think that's the Holy Spirit, and they have not the Holy Spirit. They have a familiar spirit. They have a church spirit. They have religiosity. They have a, I want to impress you and make you look at me and make you think I've had breakfast with Yah this morning, with God, and they haven't had breakfast with God. They can't even put their flesh under control. Your fake tongues is not going to get you in the kingdom. Am I against tongues? No, because it's a prayer language that should be private between you and Yah. It should be in your prayer closet, because if it comes out in public with other people, somebody better dictate what you just said and interpret it and tell us what language you're speaking. But if that's not happening, then that unknown tongue, which you say is to edify your spirit and soul, keep that to yourself. Because even Paul said, I'd rather speak one word that people understand than speak a bunch of words that can't be interpreted, that nobody understands, that cannot edify no one. Now let's get into the fruits of the Spirit, because I want you to understand something. Before I get into the fruits of the Spirit, know that you don't have the Holy Spirit if you're not being obedient to the Most High and keeping His commandments that were never done away with. You can't even keep the Big Ten. And you've got people like Creflo Dollar telling you you don't have to keep the Big Ten, meaning you don't have to worry about adultery no more. You'll still get to heaven if you commit adultery. You don't have to worry about lying no more. You'll still get to heaven if you lie. You don't have to worry about covetous and gossiping and idolatry anymore, because those commandments are done away with. You know, as you listen to me, that that's a lie from the pit of hell designed to keep you out of the kingdom of heaven. Revelation 22:14 makes it clear that here are they that keep and do the commandments of Yah, that have a right to enter in through the gates to the kingdom. You're not getting in through the 12 gates if you're not keeping the commandments based upon Revelation 22:14, which is a future prophecy. Now, let me read to you what I'm in reference to right now with obedience. Acts 5:32 makes it plain as it can get. It says, and we are his witnesses of these things, talking about Christ. And so is also the Holy. The Holy Ghost is what? A witness. And what about the Holy Ghost? It says, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Ah. So he's making it clear that the Holy Spirit only comes through the act of obedience. Well, what is the obedience that he's in reference to? 1 John 5, that tells us, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. 1 John 2:3 makes it clear that we hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. For if you say you love him and you keep not his commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. How is it that you are in sin? Because 1 John 3:4 tells us that sin is transgressing of the law. So if you've gotten into disobedience where he's calling for you to fast, where he's saying, keep my commandments and love me and thrive and live, if he's telling you that you need to be transformed by renewing your mind, and Acts 19:7 tells you that the law of the Lord is perfect and it converts the soul, and we're to make converts, if you're not doing this, you're being disobedient. So therefore, according to Acts 5:32, you're not getting the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, because you're disobedient. You're living just up under grace and misunderstanding Paul's writings and his teachings. According to 2 Timothy 2:15-17, you have no knowledge of foundation of Torah, Tanakh, the prophets. The major prophets, what they prophesied, what portion Christ came and fulfilled, because there's still more to be fulfilled. According to even the book of Jude, it's his return and establishing the kingdom and ridding evil out of the earth. That's the great purge I'm looking for. I'm not worried about no purge and martial law and people hungry and breaking in houses and shooting up streets. My God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, but guess who else he controls? The angels that have swords that are ready to do battle on your behalf. Yes, the same angels that Elisha told God to open up the eyes of Gehazi so he could see that we might have an army in front of us, but show him the army that's encamped on the hillside. And God opened his eyes and he saw an army of angels with swords ready to go to war. You don't understand how even the man that, I believe it was Ahab, was on the mule, and the prophet was going to deliver a message, but the donkey saw the angel in the middle of the road with a sword ready to do battle. You've got to know, folks, that there are angels in the spirit realm that are ready to fight, protect you, and do battle. Things will happen supernaturally. And this is what gets me when people don't believe in the supernatural, don't believe in deliverance, don't believe in the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. Why? Because you are of the prophecy that says in the last days there will be a people that will have a form of godliness but will deny the power thereof. What is the form? You know how to huck. You know how to buck. You know how to fake speak in tongues. You know how to shout. You know how to do Christian pop worship and wave your hands. You know how to have the proper cadence and diction and talk to make people think you're anointed, but you have no power in your life to even rebuke the demons and temptation in your own life. Why? Because you don't have the Holy Ghost, because the Bible says the Holy Ghost comes to those only who obey him. And you can't even obey the word of Yah. You'll say, I'm growing. I'm not perfect. I'll get there. Let's look at the fruits of the Spirit, because I want it to be quick today. Galatians 5:21. I'm going to start at 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is how you know if your obedience has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit that he said he would give to those that obey him and keep his commandments. These are the manifestations that you should see. Not the fake shout, not running around the church like you're in the Olympics doing the 400-yard dash, not you saying some gibberish that nobody can understand that you're using to impress people and make them think you have the Holy Ghost. Okay? I'm not coming against tongues. I'm coming against the showmanship. This is what needs to manifest in your life that will help you to overcome the world, your flesh, your lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of your eye. The Holy Ghost will give you the ability to have a victorious life and to be consistent, patient, like Job. This is what I should see. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Can you love your enemy? Can you refrain from fighting your own battles and let God fight your battles? Joy. Are you finding yourself happy and content regardless of what state you're in? You may not even have the money yet, but you can already sense that you have it and that it's coming and that God has your back. You're in a constant state of joy because of who he is. Peace. This is number three. Do you have peace? Are you in shalom zone? Are you in a store and people are in chaos around you, but you're not moved? Family's in disarray because somebody just got rushed to the hospital and you're calm and you're calming the situation. Someone is talking to you in a stressful manner during customer service or at the emergency room, and you disarm them with the power of peaceful discourse, dialogue. That diffuses the temperament. Do you have peace? 22. Galatians 5 and 22. Let's go to this one. 1, 2, 3. Number 4. How long are you willing to suffer? How long did Christ put up with us? Even Christ said in the boat, when they didn't have faith and the boat was about to sink and the Prince of Peace was in the hull of the ship and there was a storm outside, but they were riding with the Prince of Peace. And they said, wake up, wake up, wake up, we're about to crash. And he's like, man, what is wrong with y'all? I'm asleep. How come y'all not asleep? Don't you know no evil can befall us? Because we're not in sin and we're obedient? Get the key, not in sin. Then he said, how much longer will I have to put up with y'all? He was long-suffering with the disciples and their imperfections and their lack of faith. Right. Gentleness. This is something that I'm even learning to exercise now. Your words can be gentle. Your motion can be gentle. I'm trying to get my wife to walk lighter. She's 5'1". Don't weigh that much and walk. And when she walks, she sounds like she's 6'4". I'm just teasing her right now, but gentleness has to do with the fact that in how we deal with people, situations, and everything, let us be delicate. because we're moving in the spirit, because you're moving in discernment and you're discerning all things. The next one is 6, which is, are you seeking to do good? Goodness. Every day there should not a day go by where you're not being a blessing to somebody in some capacity. And this next one, 7, the reason why I have such a problem with this, faith. The Holy Spirit increases your faith. And many of you don't believe he's going to bless you. Don't believe he's going to change your situation. Don't believe he's going to bring you out. Don't believe he loves you. Don't believe you've been changed. Don't believe your children will get saved. Your faith is so waning. The first thing that comes out of your mouth is pessimism, not optimism. And when people are around you, I want you to check something right now. If every time you speak of your dream, or your vision, or something you want to achieve, and the person around you is a pessimist, and all they do is put fear in you and say it'll never happen, and what about this? Well, you want to watch out for this, and you need to do this, and don't forget how expensive this is. You get the hell away from that type of person. That's not who you want to surround yourself with. That's witchcraft, and that's demonic. And these people have been putting are around you to kill your dreams because misery loves company. Let's cover some more of the fruits of the Spirit. Meekness, being meek. Meekness is very inviting to those who don't know Christ. They'll follow you when they see this. Temperance, being able to calm your temper, not firing off like a missile or a firecracker. And when you get to this place where these fruits of the Spirit are manifest, then you can say, I don't have to be subject to the law. Why? Because the law is operating and functioning in you to full capacity. And there's no worry in Yah of you doing wrong because the fruits of the Spirit have been manifest in your life. And you're no longer walking in verse 21, envying people, murdering people, drunkenness, reveling, meaning brawling, hanging out, partying, turning up, kicking it. You know what y'all do at these camps. And such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, they that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you want to get in, you're going to have to do this. So they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Your flesh is constantly getting you in trouble, making you want to commit adultery, fornication, and eat. And it just wants to destroy your soul and spirit and send you to hell. Because you don't even really need those things, nor do you want those things. Who wants a fresh bottle of HIV, gonorrhea, AIDS? Who wants to pick up 5 demons off somebody you laid with? You get up so much you had a good time because you didn't have your little orgasm. Then you go home with 6, 7 more demons, pass them on to your wife, your girlfriend, keep this cycle, and then the anxiety comes. Then the paranoia comes. Then the destruction comes. Then the car accidents come. Then the baby gets sick. Then your mom and daddy get sick. Then you know that you brought these things on yourself because you ain't living godly. But you want to justify and say, well, I got grace and he knows my heart. No, the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful, evil. Is any of the things that Satan tries to entice you with worth taking your love, your joy, your peace, your long-suffering, your gentleness, your goodness, your faith? If there are things you desire and you love, if you like to make love, then make love and become one with in the flesh and be married and do it the way Christ said do it, because he did give that to be enjoyed. But even all things can be done in moderation. Enjoy a glass of wine or enjoy a steak in moderation, but when you have 3 and 4 and 5 steaks in one sitting, that's gluttonous. When you're drinking up bottles of wine and you're drunk and you're going out and doing lascivious and lewd revelings and crazy things, you're destroying your flesh. That's all I want to say for today. Looking for the fruits of the Spirit, not the ha-ba-ba-ba-bas and all that. Now, let that go. And when the fruit of the Spirit is there, you will have power coming out of your mouth when you preach and teach. Listen, I'm Elder V, known as Pastor Voorhees of Almoida Church at Last Ministries House of Israel, a deliverance assembly. This has been Inspirational Wednesday on Blog Talk. We love you. We're praying for you. Reach out to us at Almoida, Almhoida, on Facebook. And remember that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. Shalom.
Yeah, persona. It's a God now, it's a God now. But I gotta say like David, I make some declarations. You know?
Sure.
You know, you see the day and age that we're living in. You can't try to steal from the hand that feed it. My mama used to mama to do that. You know?
Yeah.
But listen. Present my pain and my strife to you. Present all my troubles and my worries to you. That's what I want to do, oh Lord, I come to you. Presenting me life and me heart to you. I stretch out my hand, oh Lord, I give it to you. That's what I do. Take it and do what you want to do, hey. Father God, I come to you. Giving everything up just to live for you. Leaving everything just to be with you.
Up with